Well, scientists looking to slow climate change say one thing that must be done is to restore degraded forests. But they've got their work cut out for them. In the northeastern U.S., there's less than 1% of old-growth forest left. Those are trees that have been growing largely undisturbed, often for centuries. They provide critical habitat for animals and plants and can help reduce flooding. Well, a new study finds that harvesting trees in a way that mimics old-growth forests not only restores some of this habitat, but also stores a surprising amount of carbon, which is crucial for fighting climate change. Kathleen Masterson of Here Now contributor Vermont Public Radio reports.
All right, we're going to go off trail here a little bit.
At the 500-acre University of Vermont Jericho Research Forest in northern Vermont, forest ecologist Bill Keaton walks me through his 15-year experiment. Using tree shears and a skidder, he and other researchers have engineered several plots of this middle-aged forest to look more like an old-growth forest.
As you can see, this is just a maze of trails and logging roads, so it's good to have a guide.
Keaton takes me to the control plot. It's 5 acres of untouched trees. The idea here is to measure how the forest would have grown if scientists hadn't tinkered with it.
So all the trees are roughly the same age. There's a single layer in the canopy. There aren't a lot of interesting habitat features like dead and dying trees that are important for wildlife. It's just very uniform, homogeneous.
All the trees in the study are about 70 to 100 years old. But in some plots, Keaton is trying to change their characteristics to mimic old growth forest conditions. Keaton says he's trying to take these middle-aged trees and
kind of nudge them along towards an older, more architecturally complex condition.
We then walk to the, quote, old-growth section of the forest.
Anything look different to you?
Well, I do see an overturned giant stump, whatever you called that habitat.
This is a tip-up mound. So we made this, and I'm particularly proud of it.
A roughly 60-foot tree has been knocked down onto the forest floor, creating a tip-up mound, a flare-up of roots and dirt, and the cave-like ditch left underneath. This creates a new niche habitat in its tipped-up roots. This would happen naturally over time, usually from wind or storms, but in this case, the researchers pulled over the tree using a cable.
We needed to take it down to free up growing space for other trees, like that one right there, that nice big one that we're trying to crown release, so that one can grow to a really big size. And in doing this, we create this great down log, which is habitat now for amphibians, small mammals, and vertebrates.
The researchers also girdled some tree limbs to create dead branch snags, which provide animal habitat. Other trees were selectively harvested to create gaps in the canopy, letting in sunlight to the forest floor. The engineering technique succeeded in creating diverse habitats. But the kicker, Keaton says, it has also allowed the forest to store a significant amount of carbon. That's key to fighting climate change. Now, forests that are left alone, with no trees harvested, usually store the most carbon. But Keaton's study is finding that it's possible to manage the forest to maximize carbon capture and still keep it a working forest.
This greater amount of carbon storage, as compared to the conventional treatments, was actually a combination of having left more trees behind in the first place and growth rates that were actually 10% higher in this treatment as compared to the conventional harvest. And that was really surprising.
Keaton says after 10 years, the old growth forest management plot stored nearly as much carbon as the unlogged control forest.
I think that any forester today who is looking to stay current in their profession is either already learning about or planning to learn about managing forest carbon.
That's Fred Clark, the director of the Forest Stewards Guild. He says Keaton's work shows landowners who are interested in managing their forests for habitat and biodiversity, they can do that and still make some income from the land. By harvesting only select trees in this old-growth mimicry technique, landowners can make income from both the lumber and from selling carbon credits.
It used to be 20 years ago that if you owned forest land, one of your only ways to generate income was to cut your trees. Today, as a result of the markets that are developing for things like forest carbon, forest owners now have a greater range of opportunities.
Though carbon markets are still in their infancy, foresters can partake in these markets in California and Quebec, selling carbon credits to businesses who want to make up for their pollution emissions. Back in the woods in Jericho, Vermont, Keaton says he was surprised that the old growth management technique actually brought in decent revenue.
So that was promising to us. Now, in absolute terms, we harvested about 60 to 80% less volume. This is not going to maximize your commercial revenue. But in the right situation, for the right type of landowner, depending on their objectives, it might be something that they could consider.
And if carbon markets continue to grow in the future, that would be even more financial incentive. For Here and Now, I'm Kathleen Masterson.